Hey everybody, welcome to episode 7. And before I went on my holiday break, I wanted to talk about my mental health journey and how it started from me crying, pressure in my head, like needle poking in my heart, like constantly feeling lonely and sad, to like doing a 180 to feeling happy, knowing my triggers, the medications that I was put on, and just, you know, talk about it a little bit. Just if I'm able to help anybody, that's all that matters to me, because I honestly felt like I was alone and I didn't know these feelings. I didn't know what these feelings were. And so, yeah. And I hope everyone have a wonderful, you know, holiday. I'm excited and I'm happy. So let's just get started. So I don't know, March, probably we were in the beginning stages of COVID and I didn't know anything about triggers. I didn't know much about stress because I've always lived a very stress-free life. I didn't know like different areas in your body where you can carry stress. So these are some of the things that I learned over the last couple of months. And after speaking to a therapist and speaking to a psychiatrist, you know, I just found these things out. So in the beginning, I was in a car accident. It was definitely during COVID because I remember the police were wearing a mask and everything like that. And for me, the car accident wasn't bad, but for the lady, she was lying and trying to sue my car insurance. And it just really affected me because I've never had someone, you know, because around that time I was thinking about getting another car. So I was like, oh no, this bitch is not going to try to sue me. Then my insurance go up and then I won't be able to get good insurance for my new car. So it was like a lot. So the insurance is calling me, like, what happened? You were in an accident. You didn't file a claim. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, and I was like, I wasn't really in an accident. I tapped the back of her car. Yeah, but I wasn't in no big accident. And the lady was like, well, she said she's in the hospital right now and her bills are piling up to $200,000. Like, you need to bring your car in. So I ended up like getting my car estimated and shit like that. And it was just a lot. So that was number one. And so number two, we were getting all this overload information, COVID this and COVID only affects people over this age. And then a couple of days later, COVID is killing all the black people. And then a couple of days later, you know, COVID is doing this and the different ways it's affecting you and the city is shutting down. And it was just like an overload of information that I was never able to process one thing because another thing was coming out. And I'm following CNN and ABC and MSN and The Shade Room and Baller Alert and Twitter and this and that. And I started to just feel a constant pressure in my head. Like, I will wake up and I would just feel a pressure in my head from the front to the back all day long, all night long. I'm having panic attacks, constantly waking up in the middle of the night with my heart racing. And I never really had panic attacks before, but I knew it was a panic attack. And then I would have like a needling pain in my heart, which was very scary. Like, that was the scariest part for me. I felt like I can handle, you know, this, I can handle that. But the needle pain in my heart was really like bothering me to the point where I called the hospital and I was just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, and I'm crying on the phone to the lady and she's like, don't cry. You know, if you feel like you really want to come in, please come in and just make sure you wear a mask and everything like that. And so I was talking to my mom and then she was just like, just go get a Bayer aspirin and take it and see how you feel. So I took the Bayer aspirin and then that like completely went away and I never felt that type of needling pain in my heart. So moving forward, I constantly felt like I was alone and I was just crying all the time, you guys. I was just so sad because I did not I didn't feel like I had anybody. And I'm trying to explain to like my boyfriend and my mom. I'm like, I just feel so alone. I just feel like I'm here by myself. Like my, like I said before in my last podcast, I was like, my roommate was never there. She was gone. And so I was just at home by myself all the time. So I did end up going home for a little bit. And I absolutely thought like that would clear the pressure in my head. That would clear any type of feelings that I felt. But I honestly did not feel good at all. So as the weeks went by and the pressure was still in my head, I decided to seek out a therapist. And I was able to find a Black therapist because I just wanted somebody who I could relate to and hopefully figure out what was wrong. So the therapist, she was good. She gave me great tips. She told me to journal. I was able to cry it out. I was able to, you know, feel better. But I will only temporarily feel better because I will constantly see all this stuff on the news and on the Shade Room and on the Baller Alert and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, well, let me limit my screen time. So I started to like block Baller Alert and block like all these trigger words on the Shade Room that I felt like every time I saw it, it just brought me down and I just was tired of feeling down all the time. So then June rolls around and then I go to like a day party because Atlanta kind of opened up, but you know, I don't know what we were doing. We went to a day party for a birthday party and it was fun. Like I finally felt like myself, but I did have like a panic attack before I went because I was just like, oh my God, you know, I really hope I don't get sick and you know, but I need to feel like myself because I used to always go out. I was always doing something in the club, popping bottles. I was always at a restaurant. I was always doing something to just not being able to do anything at all. It was just like, well, damn, like what am I doing? So I'm home alone crying all the time because I'm by myself and I can't go see my friends and you know, everybody's going through all their shit. And so one of my good friends, my Asian, like I will go over to her house, but I was still constantly feel this pressure in my head. And so when I went home in July, I went home for like 3 weeks, the pressure in my head was unbearable. It was like a feeling that I cannot explain. And so I started looking up stuff. I started just researching like different ways that you can be stressed and where do you carry stress at and how do you, you know, deal with stress? Because I personally did not feel stress. Well, but my body was stressed. So I can't explain it, but like I'm sitting down and I don't feel stressed. But if I read something and I see something that's triggering to me, that's when I start to feel the pressure in my head. So when I went home, my thought was, oh my God, maybe I have COVID. I've been here, I've been there. And that was my whole thought process. Like the whole time I was never able to actually relax. So when I started to do my research, I was seeing that, okay, you can carry stress in your head. It feels like a Band-Aid or a rope or something tied around your head, like really, really tight. And that's what I would constantly feel all the time. You can carry stress in your back. Like my back would hurt all day long. My back would just hurt. Like I can't explain it. It would just hurt, the pressure in my head all day fucking long. So I'm telling my therapist, I'm like, I'm feeling this type of thing. And she's like, oh, well, journal and write out all your feelings. But I'm like, I need something more than this. This is not enough for me. This is not working for me. I was very thankful for her because she did help me out in the beginning, but towards the middle and the end, it was unbearable for me. Like, I was very open about the way that I was feeling because I never wanted to not share my experience. Like I remember writing on Instagram, like as the new months went by, I was very thankful to be alive, but I could not get out of bed for days. I couldn't I couldn't drive, you guys. I was so afraid to drive at one point. Like, to even drive up the street was unbearable for me. To drive to the other side of town was a no, because I was constantly thinking, like, my car was going to break down. Because my car did end up breaking down, like, twice during my accident. And because I was so stubborn and didn't want to admit that the accident was more, I guess, bad than it was, because I didn't want my insurance to go up, I had to pay out of pocket a lot of money to get my car fixed. So it was constantly me so afraid to drive, because I just knew my car was going to break down on the side of the road. But granted, I can go to the dealership and pick up a car, but I put myself in so much fear that my car was going to break down and that I was going to get into an accident again. Like, it just completely changed me to the point where I couldn't get out of bed, or nor could I drive. So it was hard, because I'm trying to explain to my family, like, how I feel. And it's just like, you don't want to be judged, because you don't want to be looked at like you're crazy. But I just couldn't explain why I felt like that. So I spent a lot of time at my friend Maisha's house, and I would just lay on the couch and I would just call her and I would tell her, like, can I please come over, because I don't want to be alone and it's a really, like, hard time for me. So I started to research finding a psychiatrist, because at this point I just could not take it anymore, you guys. It was just, it's not a pain feeling. It's just a constant annoying feeling of something that you just cannot get rid of, no matter what you do. Like, and then I can understand why people picked up habits of drinking and smoking, because that's just something that you do to numb pain. And I'm drinking wine more, and I've never really been like a drinker, like, in the house for a long time. This is like the most I've ever drinking my entire life, because shit, it was nothing else to do. But I'm not saying like I was alcoholic, but I would just constantly always try to drink wine before I go to bed to ease me so I can sleep, because I'm constantly having panic attacks and this and that, and my body just got so used to it, like, with anything. So to scale it back a little bit, like I said, I blocked a lot of words on Twitter. I followed a lot of accounts on Instagram that constantly just posted negative things. I followed more positive accounts, and I remember, like, I was in a group, and Raven and Crystal and the other girls, we would go on Instagram and we would do, like, we're chatting with each other on group chats, and River and Crystal would go live sometimes. And those things made me feel better, because it was like, you know, like my virtual girlfriends type of thing. And so I even went to California, because my boyfriend, he had went to California. And at this point, I'm like completely by myself. And I'm like, no, I need to go to California with you. And flying was even scarier. Like, I had such a bad, like, panic attack in California, and that was just it for me. So once I got home, I decided to call my insurance, and I said, I need help, because I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel very sad. I feel very alone. I feel like I'm not right. And the lady on the phone was so sweet, and just, when somebody tell you they're not feeling right and something is wrong, having, like, compassion is the best thing that you can do, because that can really, like, make or break somebody. Because if she would have came off, like, as a bitch, like, I don't know where I would be right now. But she was so sweet, and she was just like, you know, we're going to get all the help that you need. If you want to see a psychiatrist, I can connect you with some. And it's free, and you can see anybody you want, anytime you want, just make an appointment online. So I ended up looking through the list of psychiatrists, and I wanted to find a Black psychiatrist, because I just wanted someone Black. That's pretty much it. And I wanted to make sure that I was an advocate for myself, and I needed someone who was going to listen to me and listen to the things that I was going through. And my friends, like Anya, my mom and everybody, my boyfriend, they all listened, but I needed more than that. I just needed something to help me. So when I found my doctor, he was really cool, sweet guy. And I told him like everything that I was feeling. And, you know, he was just like, well, I don't think you're depressed, but, you know, I know that you're extremely stressed because you have, you know, all the writings on the wall of a stressful person. And I want to let you know that you're not alone. And he prescribed me two pills. One is called hydroxine, and it's a sleeping pill. And what happened was I told him, like, I don't want no extremely high dosage where I cannot wake up or I cannot function. Like, that's not the type of medication that I wanted. And so he gave me, like, the lowest dosage possible. It was, like, 5 milligrams. And then so also he put me on propranolol. And propranolol was the one that would take the pressure out of my head. So for the first, I guess, 3 weeks of September, I completely did like, it was September. Yeah, September. So yeah, it was like, I went from feeling the pressure in my head 24 hours a day to it just got less and less and less. And like I said, it was 5 milligrams, and it just started to slowly go away. So I went and I started getting massages, and I took longer baths, and, you know, I started working out a little, not a lot, but, you know, I bought some just self-care stuff, some body care stuff, and I just really took the time out to make myself feel good. I stopped keeping up with everything on social media. I just really wanted to take the time out and figure out if this was going to work or not, because I didn't know if it was going to work. But I decided to self-care, get foot massages, and just really put myself first and how I was feeling. And so the pressure in my head started to go away. And every time I would feel like anxious or nervous, I would take the pill. You take it 3 times a day. They probably give you like 50 pills, but on average, I may have taken the pill a total of 7 times. So I still have like a full bottle of pills. And as far as the sleeping pill, it definitely worked too, but it wasn't like a very high dosage. It's 10 milligrams. Oh, actually 20. Yeah, it's 10 milligrams. He gave me like backup prescriptions, and I told him I really don't need them because I really don't take the pills. So another thing that was kind of annoying, like when I would, you know, bring up the pills and people were like, oh, it's addictive, you know, like I did my research, like I know pills can be addictive, but I don't really have an addictive personality when it comes to pills because I'm not trying to be asleep all damn day and all night. So it's just another thing, like when someone is telling you, like, you know, they've been put on medication, like the first thing that comes out of your mouth shouldn't be like, oh, this is an addicting pill. It's like, no, it's not an addicting pill. And, you know, just be, you know, keep an eye out on your friend, but just know, like, if your friend is a functioning adult that doesn't take pills for everything, like, don't let that be like the first thing that comes out and said, because that may like offend them. So pretty much that was it. Like after I started taking the hydrocortisone, the pressure in my head would go away. And the last time I took it, because it was like elections, you know, Biden is in office soon. So I was like very anxious around that time. So the pressure started like, you know, started creeping up. So I know when to take it because I know like a lot of stress will overwhelm me. And so that was like the last time I took it. And the sleeping pill, I took that too. And a girl was knocked out from 9:30 p.m. to 9:30 in the morning. Like, woke up, birds chirping. And that was the first time I really took the sleeping pill fully. Like, I would break the sleeping pill down into like four little ass pieces, and it would still put me to sleep. So when I took the sleeping pill, like, the whole thing and the shit knocked me out. I was like, oh, this is it. But I still have bottles and bottles of the sleeping pill. Like, my doctor gave me another 2 month supply, and I'm just like, sir, I don't even need a 2 month supply because I'm still on the first batch that you gave me. So for me, I have it, and I know that it's there to help me, but it's not something that I rely on. I try to do other stuff before I let that be like my last resort, but I will not allow myself to suffer and deal with anything for days and days at a time, because I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So pretty much my message is that if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, and you know you're open to seeing a psychiatrist, like, don't hesitate to seek out that type of help. Because growing up in, you know, in my community, it's like not something that was celebrated. You talk about seeing a therapist, pretty much seeking a therapist, you know, you're looked at funny, like, oh, you need to pray more, you need to do this, you need to do that. But honestly, follow your heart, whatever you feel like is right for you to do, as long as it's like in a healthy way, definitely do what's best for you. My anxiety was really bad. Like I said, it stopped me from driving. It stopped me from doing a lot of things that I would normally do. It stopped me from being happy. And I just didn't like that feeling at all. It was just draining. It was depressing. And I know I put like a lot of my, you know, bad energy on people. And I'm so sorry for that. If I ever did, you know, do something like that, I promise you it wasn't intentional. But I'm thankful for all the open ears. And when Crystal and Raven would go live on Instagram, those are like my virtual girlfriends. Like, you know, you guys held me down. Danny, Anya, like, it was just so many people I can't even think of right now. But I'm happy I spoke up and I didn't, you know, just not say anything about the way I felt. Like, I never thought in 32 years I would ever feel like this, but I'm also happy I wasn't silent about it. I talked about it all the time, and you know, I'm happy I did that. I'm happy I didn't just stay in my room and stay quiet and, you know, wish the pain went away, wish the feeling went away. So other than that, you guys, that's pretty much it. It was, for me, it was a very long ass journey. Like, but it just feels so much better to be able to wake up and be, just have a clear thought and a clear mind and not be afraid to, you know, be happy and excited to live life. And I'm just more thankful than ever about life and everything, and just look forward to the future. So get the gist. Yeah, so like I said, if anybody want to talk about it, definitely don't be afraid to DM me. I have a great therapist, a great psychiatrist. I can refer their information to you if you need it. But I just don't want anybody to ever go through this or ever feel alone and not have, you know, people that they can't rely on. I'm thankful for the group of women that, you know, stood by me and just allowed me to vent and talk. And that is pretty much the main reason why I started the podcast, because I wanted to share this story. I know my stories be like all over the place and all this other shit, but this is like real talk, something that was it changed my life. So that's it, y'all. I will see y'all after. We'll see y'all. I will talk to you guys after Thanksgiving break. And yeah, y'all have a good one. Thank you.